Fantasy TV.
Okay, my reading of the physical copy of Xender on Romans Volume 1 is moving along. I'm over halfway finished with it. It is some book. You are going to love it. As soon as I finish it, I'm going to just put the corrections in there. There are a few, but I can do it. And then off to the printers for the big run, and then you will be notified when it is ready for purchase. Thank you for your patience there. And today, I am going to talk about the mindset now required for the snatching away. We have to think the right way, and this is concerning our loved ones. There's a way to think about this, and I'm going to tell you what that is. But I have to tell you something before I tell you that, and it concerns yesterday's Grace Cafe video. This was one of the best ever. I was just transported in mind, not in body, but in mind, as I listen and watch this video from audio recorded at a Christian radio station 25 years ago. Rodney came up with a great title for this show. It was called Christianity: So Many Deceived So Easily. I rarely tell you to do this, but I'm going to tell you, I am going to implore you to send a link. All of you are on social media. I'm not. So please put this on social media with these words. I'm going to put the words down here. So all you have to do is cut and paste these words, the words I'm about to read, with this video link of yesterday's Grace Cafe video. What I want you to say is, this was actually broadcast on mainstream Christian radio. And that is the shock of the whole thing, that this show, it's about the caricature of Satan. It's about how Satan has caricaturized himself as a evil-looking red devil with a pointy tail, pitchfork, horns, the whole business, and it is absolutely not how he is. He's a pleasant looking brightness. He has wonderful thoughts, wonderful ideas. He lives in bright, colorful churches with happy music, and he disseminates the most godless teachings through the midst of those purporting to be God's friends. And again, what blows my mind all over again as I'm listening to this broadcast is that this was done. This was said on mainstream Christian radio. It's like we forgot that we were on mainstream Christian radio and that you can't say these things on mainstream Christian radio. This was in Cleveland, Ohio, and yet we did. I mean, God gave us supernatural boldness, or else amnesia, really. I think it's more amnesia that we just forgot where we were. And one of the great miracles is that the producer of the show, Ricardo Johnson, for 5 weeks, he was washed with the truth. And it all just washed right over him and drained off of him. Never absorbed a single freaking drop of the truth. This man was supernaturally, and continues to be from what I understand, supernaturally hardened and made stubborn by God. At around the 25-minute mark of the video that is linked below, Ken Pridemore, who's very quiet usually, one of the six people at the table, he describes a revival he attended in Ohio and how he exposed the minister afterward. I mean, this is 25 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. I completely forgot about this. Like, Ken went on a roll and he talked about how he took the pastor aside after this, what Ken was doing at a revival in Ohio. I don't know. It was a two-day revival. What the hell he was doing there? Maybe he was there on a dare. He took the pastor aside, and what he said to him was astounding. Astounding. And I'm listening to this with rapt attention. In the meantime, Rodney Paris puts his beautiful nature video against it. Okay? Backdropping the audio. And then at the 36-minute, 35-second mark, I begin to speak on the false expressions, a list of the false expressions in Christianity. This is based on 1 Timothy 4:1, talking about the doctrines of demons and the hypocrisy of false expressions. And I am listing false expressions. Now, Rodney usually puts like text frames up on the video, right? But he had the wisdom to just not distract from the audio with any text frames on the screen whatsoever. So all you have are these beautiful nature videos with these powerful words God gave me. And it's the most powerful thing I've ever done on the air. And it's actually mesmerizing. And if you haven't seen this video, you've got to watch it. And then at the end, Rodney picked a Return to Zender video from 2018 to tag on the end. And what a stellar pick that was. I mean, just the whole video is rocks. I mean, it's just one of the best videos ever. So, and who made this possible? We had to pay to get on the air for 5 weeks in Cleveland, Ohio, WCCD. I think it was 1000 AM. It still exists, the largest Christian radio station in Cleveland, Ohio. And it was the Saints who financed that. And the Saints have continued to finance this outreach for 31 years. And I want to thank you again for your generosity in financially supporting this work. It's done out of enthusiastic hearts. No one is ever under obligation. And I am so indebted to you. God has used your hands and your hearts and your mouths, really, in blessing me to keep this work going, to keep me encouraged, and it just keeps going. So I am astounded by all of it, mesmerized by the whole thing, like I'm a third party watching it. It's very interesting that way. This work is so of God that I'm a third party watching it myself. People ask me, what videos do you watch, Martin, to get encouraged? And I say, I watch my own. I'm watching my own videos. It's so not me and God that I can watch as a third person and get totally blessed and blown away by the truth. I can say that without apology, without feeling weird, without me thinking that you think it's weird. If you do, I'm sorry. It's just, it's a God thing. The mindset now required. I wrote some notes down on this for the snatching away. Now, I want you to realize something. In most of the cases, you've given your friends and loved ones articles, you've given them books, you've given them video links, and you're going to do it today. Today, you're going to take that Grace Cafe video, you're going to copy it, you're going to put it on social media with the words, "This was actually broadcast on mainstream Christian radio." And then walk out of the room. Just pull the pin on the grenade, roll it into the living room, and walk away. You don't have to stick around to watch the explosion. You might get hit by the shrapnel later. Okay? But anyway, so these people who we have tried to reach with the truth, they're stubborn. They don't get it. And so they're not in the body of Christ. But we still want them to be saved. But now it's our snatching away, our departure from this earth will be the catalyst that initiates the process of their eventual salvation and the salvation of the entire world and the entire universe. As Ephesians says, chapter 1, we complete Christ. We are the complement of the one completing the universe, completing the all in all. Christ is waiting for his body. So we're the next big thing on God's calendar, and everything's stopped up. Everything is held up until we're snatched away. And so you need to look at it this way. I know it's sad to think of leaving some of your loved ones behind. Believe me, I know about this. I have skin in the game. But you have to look at the big picture. It's like, okay, you've tried everything, and they're just stubborn. I know God made them stubborn, but nevertheless, they're still stubborn, right? And it's okay to call them stubborn. What does that have to do with God making them stubborn? What do you call people whom God makes stubborn? You call them stubborn. And yet people have accused me. What do you call these people stubborn? God made them stubborn. What do you call people who God makes stubborn, so please stop it, okay? They're stubborn. They don't get it. But the tribulation will wake them up. Oh, yes, it will. But there's no such thing as any more members of the body of Christ. Once we're snatched away, that's it. There are no more members of the body of Christ. The only way, the only salvation after this is the Israel gospel, to become a proselyte of Israel. Or many of these people could be actual Israelites, descendants from the lost 10 tribes who have lost their national identity over the centuries, over the millennia. Quite probable. They're actually lost Israelites. Go way back, way back, way back to the dispersion, to the Assyrian captivity in Samaria of the northern tribes that were dispersed among the nations. They never returned to Israel, the house of Israel. God said, I will shake, I will scatter them among all the nations of the earth. So, shake them and scatter them. And they're stubborn as hell, like most Israelites are. But the tribulation is going to cure it. The tribulation is the cure. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah, it's going to be hard. But what we're going to keep going in this malaise, in this ennui, in this smarking time treadmill, gerbil wheel type existence. No, something has to happen. It's like a woman in labor. Something has to happen. And it will happen, and it's necessary for it to happen. So now, you need to tell, you need to start teaching, start preaching like a Christian to your friends. Like, okay, the day is coming. There's a day coming. The tribulation is coming. You know, and this might actually be the thing that kicks them over. Sometimes it takes, I mean, I'm not saying let me slow down. We teach like a Christian in this way. You kind of threaten them. Like, this is your last chance to believe Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel is the modern day ark that will deliver you out of the coming indignation. If you don't receive what I'm telling you, that you then you are going to go through the tribulation. That just might do it for some people. This is part of the new mindset, to see the snatching away as... When that happens, there are no more members of the body of Christ ever. So there's one person on this channel who thinks that everybody's going to end up being a member of the body of Christ, every single human being. This is absurd. We complete Christ. Complete? Once Christ is completed, how can there possibly be any more members of the body of Christ? So the only thing left after that is the Israel gospel, to be blessed on the earth with Israel. Either to be an actual Israelite and part of the vast throng that is faithful, but you're going to get the shit persecuted out of you during the tribulation. You might want to even put it that way for some people. You're going to get the shit persecuted out of you. You're going to realize the truth, finally. This is the easy way now. Go to this video. Watch this Zender video. Read this book. It's the easy way. If you keep rejecting it, okay. But the tribulation is coming. Then you'll realize what everything I was telling you is true, but it'll be too late to be in the group I'm a part of. I was designated beforehand for it. Apparently you are not. That's okay. Not your fault. But you're going to be persecuted for your faith. If you become faithful during the tribulation, if a person becomes faithful, if it kicks in and they start reading the scriptures and they become enlightened, like they're part of the new covenant, let's say, where the light comes on all of a sudden, then the persecution follows, and you have to be faithful to the end. And many, 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 many people are going to die for their faith during the tribulation. It's going to be tough. You got to endure to the end to be saved. This is definitely a day of salvation. But again, these are just relative appeals to people. This is a day of salvation. I'm giving you the truth of the conciliation of the world through Christ. The evangel of Christ died for our sin, actually died for our sins. No free will here, no Trinity. Was entombed, raised the third day. Run the hell away from religion, from your churches, because doom has been proclaimed against the religious systems of humanity. Maybe you need to appeal to people's basic survival instinct. Well, I don't want to go through the tribulation. See, this is a real threat. The tribulation is a real threat. It's not like eternal torment, which is a fictitious fantasy threat. This is a real threat. It's like eternal torment is so stupid to threaten somebody with. It's like a mother threatening her son. Like, if you don't do your homework like I told you to do, I'm going to ground you for the rest of your life. The kid just rolls his eyes and like, right. So it has no effect on him whatsoever. That's the effect that the threat of eternal torment has on people. If you don't believe in God right now, he's going to torture you for eternity. God's going to torture me. It's ridiculous. God, the God of love you're talking about, is going to torture me for eternity. So it's a ridiculous, idle threat. And so people rightly ignore it, but and then they go off and do their thing anyway. But what is really effective is when you give someone a realistic threat. Like the mother tells the kid, if you don't do your homework like I told you to do, for the next 3 weeks, I'm not going to let you watch your favorite cartoon. Ooh, now that's a serious threat. That the kid knows, Mom can do that. She's the queen of the remote. I'm only 10 years old. I don't have any authority in this house. Mama does. Oh, she's got the remote, and she can lock it. I'm not going to watch my favorite show for 3 weeks. Jesus, I'm not going to let that happen, says the kid. So he does what his mom wants. Here's the threat. You're going to go through the tribulation. And the tribulation is coming. It's a terrible 3.5 year period on earth. The worst of it is 3.5 years. A third of humanity is going to die. It's going to be locusts tormenting people, supernatural locusts. It's going to be widespread killing. Supernatural beasts are going to be coming out of the ground. See, the locusts torment for 5 months. The supernatural beasts come out for a certain amount of time. Doesn't say specifically how long they're going to be here, but see, it's all restricted to time. It's all a time thing. It's all something that people will hear that and they go, that's like a reasonable threat. Everybody's heard of the tribulation. You want to be going through it? I don't think they do. So this is the mindset now. It's like now or never. Well, it's not now or never. Now or later. That's it, now or later. Jesus Christ, our Lord, said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, even as the days of Noah, thus shall be the presence of the Son of Mankind. For as they were in those days before the deluge, eating and drinking and marrying and taking in marriage until the day on which Noah entered into the ark and did not know till the deluge came and takes them all away, thus shall be the presence of the Son of Mankind. And so this oblivion of what's ahead lying on the hearts of people, they're just doing their own things, and to grab them by the shirt collar, maybe literally, I don't know, don't shake them, just grab them kind of. You got some bad times are coming on the earth. You heard of the tribulation? Yes. God's going to use the tribulation to destroy religions, man's religion and politics. You're in a religion now, aren't you? Okay. Bad. Religion, bad. MartinZetter.com, good. And also, 2 Thessalonians, I call this the unknown passage of Paul. This doesn't sound very gracious, but this is hard truth right here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. We ought to be thanking God always concerning you, brethren, according as it is meet, seeing that your faith is flourishing and the love of each one of you all for one another is increasing, so that we ourselves glory in you in the ecclesias of God for your endurance and faith and all your persecutions and the afflictions with which you are bearing. A display of the just judging of God to deem you worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering also. It is suffering that makes us worthy for great rewards in the kingdom of God. We're not found worthy for salvation, but for the kingdom, for ruling and reigning, we are found worthy by suffering. God graciously brings us afflictions. Oh, yes. For to you it is graciously granted not only to be believing in him, but to be suffering for his sake also. Philippians 1:29. Verse 6, if so be that it is just of God to repay affliction to those afflicting you. Who's afflicting you? Your friends and your family members who think you're crazy. That's affliction in its own way. Of course, you know it hurts deeply to be dismissed. And to you who are being afflicted, ease with us at the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. This is the number one proof verse that we will not be here for the day of indignation for the tribulation. Here it is. To you who are being afflicted, you will have ease with us at the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. The unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ is another name for the tribulation. The unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven with his powerful messengers in flaming fire. Can you believe this isn't Paul? In flaming fire, dealing out vengeance to those who are not acquainted with God. Flaming fire, what? Well, the mouths of the 200 million supernatural cavalry are breathing fire and sulfur. And they kill people by the fire and the sulfur. This is flaming fire dealing out vengeance on those who are not acquainted with God and who are not obeying, that is, hearing and heeding the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the people who are rejecting you are going to be going through these things. And they will incur the justice of aeonian extermination. That is, if they continue in their unbelief. This is just a judgment. So why is God judging them? Because he made them unbelievers. Well, I don't go read Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 9. Like, how dare you question God? It's just what he does. Because he's God. He has to judge the world somehow. He makes people the way they are for a purpose. As I've been telling you, God is a problem in that he does everything, but he needs to judge people for their own good. So he has to judge people that he makes hard. He has to. Because he's doing everything. It's simple when you realize that God has a very unique, very rare problem in that he is doing everything. Everything is out of God, out of him, through him, and into him is all. Romans 11:36. Nobody else can say that except God. So he's got a unique problem. All is out of him, through him, and for him. It's all him. But he still has to judge people for their own good. So thus he judges people that he makes hard. It's just so simple when you look at it in the Romans 11:36 frame. Reference frame there. Who shall incur the justice of aeonian extermination from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his strength, whenever he may be coming to be glorified in his saints. That's the snatching away. To be marveled at in all who believe. To be marveled at. Seeing that our testimony to you was believed in that day. How will they be marveling in our glorification? Because, as I've been telling you, I don't see it any other way. We will return after the snatching away to be with them, to help them through, to help our loved ones, our family members, and especially, this delights me, especially our enemies, to help them through the tribulation. I can't wait to help my enemies. That's going to be the greatest thing. To show grace to people who just nailed you to the cross. It's going to be wonderful. So, that's what's coming for these people. But it's the beginning of their eventual salvation. A lot of us hit a hard place before we came to faith. God brought us to a hard place, emptied us of ourselves, and gave us faith. And we are relishing in being members of the body of Christ. But as we look back, we see that it came on the heels of some real breaking. Okay, so you can't rob these other people of the same breaking. They have to go through it too, and this is their hour of breaking. It's still ahead, and they're just stubborn because of God. I don't know, but we don't know who God has appointed to aeonian life, to membership in the body of Christ, so we just broadcast the truth. That's what this cut and paste thing is with yesterday's Grace Cafe video. We don't know who God has chosen ahead of time. We don't know who the last member of the body of Christ will be. So we broadcast the truth. We just throw it out there, see what sticks, see if it sticks. We don't have the advantage. Nobody has the advantage. Paul didn't have the advantage of a little cursor, a little arrow going over the heads of people who have been designated beforehand to believe the evangel. Wouldn't that be handy? Then we would know, okay, I'm going to go teach to that person because I know that person's been designated beforehand. But see, there is no such thing. So in faith, we just broadcast to all and we see what sticks and we see to whom it sticks, but we have to give out the right message. So send out yesterday's Grace Cafe video. It is linked below. Send it out with those words or make up your own. I'm just being helpful for those who don't have a penchant for writing. And God is going to save your loved ones. And you have to see the snatching away as the beginning of a quickened process. Our snatching away is the catalyst that puts the salvation of your friends and family members in the fast lane. But it's not going to come easy for them. It's going to come hard, but it is going to come. And when they look back at it, they, like us, will say, God, it had to happen that way. And I thank you for every single thing you did to bring me to this place of salvation.